141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A huge night for Celtic in the Champions League as they take on Club Bruges. We'll hear from Philip Clement as Rangers touch down in Nice, and a mad ending at Easter Road as Hibs draw 3-3 with Aberdeen. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans.
Well, it was Celtic's Alistair Johnson who said that the noise prior to Champions League games at Celtic Park was almost inhumane where the opposition were concerned. So Club Bruges or Club Brugge, whatever you care to call yourselves, get ready because it's coming along tonight. Again, if Celtic tried to win 4 Champions League games in succession at home, big change even has overcome Celtic, Andrew, in Europe.
Yeah, another big night of European action, and with the fact that Celtic can go on to 10 points, which people seem to think should be enough to get into the playoff round, it could be a massive night.
Yeah, that was a marker, wasn't it, at the start, that, you know, 10-point marker. But yeah, like you said, it'll be, I'm expecting a tight game. I watched Club Bruges v Aston Villa, where Tyrone Mings picks the ball up and gives away a penalty kick, not realising the goal kick had been taken. And John McGinn's spoken about, you know, a few of their danger men as well for Celtic to watch out for. So listen, as Hugh said there, you know, Celtic Park on a European night is nothing like it. So the atmosphere will be electric, the players will be full of confidence, and, you know, hopefully they can go and win this game of football.
We like these nights where we've got a big game in Glasgow. We want to hear from you. Maybe you're heading along to the game. Maybe you've just got some thoughts ahead of it. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, are you feeling confident after that result and performance against Leipzig? Is tonight the type of game that you feel you can produce that level of performance again? Who should play? What are the points of contention in terms of the starting lineup? What should Brendan Rodgers do with his squad? Rangers fans, we're going to hear from Philippe Clement. I think their press conference ahead of Nice is going on at the moment. So we'll go live to Nice, speak to Gabriel, who is at that press conference at the moment. And of course, a bit later on, we have to get into that game last night. Hibs against Aberdeen. I couldn't believe it. That's crazy.
I don't think anyone could believe it. I don't think the players could believe it. You know, for the supporters who went there and bared the cold, it was a great ending for them. You know, emotions would have been absolutely all over the place. But yeah, listen, a 3-3 draw with, you know, goals coming in the last couple of minutes of the game. Yeah, I think every, you know, punter would have gone home from that game and they'd have been entertained.
It has to be a turn the corner moment for Hibs. It just has to be. They were embarrassed on Saturday by Dundee, 4-1 loss there. But the way in which they came back, every player has to think, well, we do have something. We do have something inside. And they'll take that spirit to Motherwell at the weekend when Hearts have a home game against Aberdeen. So the two Edinburgh clubs could swap places at the weekend at the bottom of the table.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025, whether it's Celtic against Bruges, whether you're a Rangers fan that's waiting to hear what Philip Clement has to say ahead of that game tomorrow. Hibs fans, Aberdeen fans, we want to hear from you as well. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. While you get your calls in, let's go live to Celtic Park.
Quiet there, Tony.
Yeah, I thought
Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
There we go. That's what we were waiting for. We just wanted to dramatise it a wee bit. We wanted to build it up, yeah. And we got there in the end. Let's cross live to Celtic Park. Adam Binney is there to give us a preview ahead of that game.
Thank you very much, Andrew, and good evening everyone from Celtic Park. Now, this is a place famed for its Champions League night atmospheres, and you get the feeling that tonight has the potential to be one of the best in a long time. That's simply because a win would all but confirm qualification for the knockout stages of this competition for the first time in 12 years. So, let's remind ourselves of the state of play and what the implications of this match are. Well, Celtic are 18th in the league phase table. They're on 7 points after 4 games. They've beaten RB Leipzig and Slovan Bratislava at home and earned a point night away at Atalanta, with the only defeat coming against Borussia Dortmund in Germany. 10 points should be enough to advance to the knockout playoff round, though nobody really knows yet. This is the first time that the competition is run in this format. Remember, in the new format, the top 8 will qualify automatically for the last 16, with teams finishing in places 9 to 24 competing in the playoff round for a spot in that last 16. Celtic are still to play Dinamo Zagreb, Young Boys and Aston Villa, but tonight not only gives them a great chance of a playoff spot, but also keeps the dream of a top 8 finish alive. Tonight's visitors, Club Brugge, are just 1 point behind Celtic on 6 points, and they'll feel tonight is their best chance of qualification, with three tough fixtures to follow against Sporting, Juventus and Manchester City. The Belgians will make tough opposition themselves. They shocked Aston Villa with a 1-0 win in their last Champions League match, and beat Austrian champion Sturm Graz away from home on match day one. Their only two European losses this season have come against Borussia Dortmund and AC Milan. And remember, they were also UEFA Conference League semi-finalists just last season. Keep an eye out for their star man, Christian Schaulis, tonight. The Greece international winger scored 4 goals in 48 minutes during Club Brugge's 7-0 league win at the weekend. I'll be back with the team news in around 35-40 minutes. And the big question for Brendan Rodgers to ponder tonight, Andrew, is whether he goes with Arne Engels or Paulo Bernardo to play alongside Callum McGregor and Rio Hatate in midfield.
I mean, it's not really what you want to hear is your opponents having won 7-0 at the weekend, really, is it? But given the way Celtic played against Leipzig, given the way they've played since, they'll have that confidence that no matter who goes to Celtic Park at the moment, that they'll feel they're capable of playing well and getting a result.
And they're all coming off the back of an excellent second half performance against Hearts at Tynecastle, scoring 4 goals on what was a very good day for Celtic, with Rangers dropping points and Aberdeen losing. And then you factor in this exceptional atmosphere at Celtic Park on these nights. I assume that apart from the controversy over Engels or Paulo Bernardo, the other 10 picked themselves.
Simple as that, yeah.
Oh, for me, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be Schmeichel in goal, Alistair Johnson, Carter Vickers, Trusty Taylor, McGregor, Hatate, Engels, or Paulo Bernardo were up front, Kun, Kyogo and Maeda. I can't envisage it being any other way for Brendan Rodgers.
Who edges it for you between those two? Because does Brendan Rodgers just go for the same team that started against Leipzig and played so well? It would be Arne Engels.
Yeah, I would go with Engels. Listen, I think Bernardo's always done extremely well when coming into the Celtic team, whether you know it was coming in for the odd start or whether it's coming on a substitute. But I said this before, I think Engels was brought to Celtic Park for these big games. You know, since being at Celtic, he's broken to the Belgium first team. His season's going from strength to strength. And I just think he comes to the real top of his game in these massive European games. So yeah, he'll be starting for me. But listen, if you know Bernardo was going to start, I wouldn't be complaining if I was a Celtic fan. You know, they're very, very close in terms of ability.
Nothing like doing it against your compatriots. You know, mm-hmm. for Engels to say to the rest of Belgium, this is where you want to be, Celtic. Second phase of the competition. So I can only imagine that the nature of the opposition would give Engels an extra lift.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. You can get in touch on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. I think that will be a big point of contention among supporters as well. Will it be Arne Engels to start this game? Will it be Paulo Bernardo? You touched on it there, Marvin. Do you feel that the European games maybe suit Arne Engels more than maybe league games? Does he show up better in these games than he maybe has domestically?
I think they all suit him. Yeah. I really do. And I think other centre midfielders will tell you that as well. But no, listen, I get your point. I do think that, I agree with you, you know, when you're playing against, you know, kind of a team from your homeland as well, you get an extra couple of percent out of yourself. But yeah, I think, you know, these big European games, really do think, you know, he does perform. He shows exactly what he's about. And, you know, he's a real top quality centre midfielder.
Robbie is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. How are you tonight, Robbie?
Not too bad. I'm walking up London Road the other now and people are going on about extending the main stand upwards. But I'm not too sure because I can see right into that stadium and it's a beautiful sight to see all these seats and you can see either way, whatever way you're going to go up and down London Road. But I regards to the team tonight, I'm just wondering who the panel thinks Celtic will go away in the midfield. I think this Club Brugge are underrated. They really, really are. And we're talking about, RB Leipzig, Dortmund, Atalanta and Aston Villa. being the hardest team. Sometimes it does work out that way, that they are the hardest teams, but not all the time. And I think this team tonight are they're going to be really, really a tough nut to crack, and I think they're going to be really, really dangerous, especially on the break, because of the way that I've been listening to a few of the Belgian experts, you know, on Belgian football. They're saying that they might sit in a wee bit and try to hit Celtic on the counter. They'll not come out like being cavalier, like, you know.
The one certainty you have, Robbie, is that they will not be underrated by the man who matters, and that's Brendan Rodgers, who will be absolutely well aware of how good that they can be, and that's why he'll pick the best possible team.
He said that himself yesterday, Brendan Rodgers, that you can never just think that you've cracked the Champions League because you've had a couple of, you know, good results against good teams, despite the fact that people would view Atalanta and view RB Leipzig as tougher opponents than Club Brugge. The second you take your eye off the ball, you get punished in the Champions League.
Yeah, and you know, you go from kind of confidence to complacency, don't you? And that's one thing, as Hugh said there, he'll make sure that his players aren't going to be complacent. You know, he probably will remind them about what happened against Dortmund, because if we're not on our game, if we're not totally at it, then that could happen to us. So that'll be the reminder. That'll be all the reminder the players need. As Hugh said there, you know, Brendan won't underestimate tonight's opponents, nor will the players. They'll go out there, they know they have to play to their best of their ability. And if they do that with the home crowd, you know, they can win this game for sure.
Before you came on, Robbie, Hugh and Marvin both said that they thought it would be the same team that played against Leipzig. So that would be Arne Engels in midfield instead of Paulo Bernardo. How do you see it?
I think the panel have got a point there. Will he stick with Engels going by his European form, which has been pretty good, especially in the three games, Slovan Bratislava, Atalanta and Leipzig? Or will he go with recent form and look at Paulo Bernardo, who's been breathing right down his neck, and he's been coming on and really been performing pretty well whenever he's been called upon recently? So that's the thing about that. I wasn't very sure who would actually go with, and we're going to know in about half an hour's time, or, you know, who he is going to pick. But I think Hugh and Marvin are right. If you're going to get changes, you're not going to get any more than two. The left back situation, I probably think he will go with Greg Taylor. And in the midfield, I think it's a coin toss. I really, really do. If he's going to go with Engels, big games, big price tag, and the European forum, or is he going to go with recent actual forum, including domestic? He might just pump with Bernardo, but it's hard to tell, hard to tell.
On the one hand, Arne Engels' cross to bear is that he cost a club record fee, £11 million. Therefore, everyone thinks he should be Superman every game. But life's not like that. Sometimes he'll drop his standards inadvertently. But
still a young player as well, and that tends to happen with younger players.
I would, he gets my vote to start the game. However, with regard to Paulo Bernardo and others, one of Celtic's great attributes is that they go to the bench and they bring on people who impact the game in a meaningful way. James Forrest, come on, against Hearts at the weekend, and when people say, did not put a foot wrong, that's what happened. James Forrest did not put a foot wrong, and he lifted Celtic a bit second half. And that's the strength that Brendan Rodgers has. He can go to the bench and bring on Paulo Bernardo or James Forrest. Other players, Adam Eder, come on, at the weekend, 2 goals. You know, so an awful lot is read into who starts the game. But Celtic, it's who finishes the game for Celtic that's been the important thing this season.
Well, thank you to Robbie. Let's stick with the phones. Paul is a Celtic fan in Carluke. Paul, who would you go for out of Arne Engels and Paulo Bernardo tonight if you feel that is the debate?
First of all, I think I need to ask you if Nicholas Kuhn is his new Lubo moment.
Oh, very much so, yeah. Now that you've got that off your chest, you can go on with the rest of your life.
The one thing you can guarantee is that if Hugh gets something wrong, he will own it.
We never forget you, Hugh, so there you go. So,
well, it's coming up for 25 years now since Lubo signed, and I did promise Celtic TV on the 20th anniversary, Celtic TV had me round, and I made my usual mea culpa. Now it's the 25th anniversary. I expect Celtic TV to have me round again.
I'm just perpetuating the myth with Nicholas Kuhn, who you described as okay last year. So dental dental issues notwithstanding. But anyway, my main point is about Arnie Ingles. I think already there's sort of dissenting voices within the Celtic support, and I know it's hard to pick holes in anything at the moment. I think his game's more suited. I heard Marvin saying earlier about his game being more suited for European nights, technically. We've got a bit more time on the ball, and I think he's got the run beyond the striker, you know, in his locker that he can get beyond the on the front players and get into the box. So it's a big night for him, but I still expect it to start, and I think he'll be one of the star players. And if he has to take a penalty, I think he'll be cool enough for that.
Do you feel, Paul, that there's any debate anywhere else in the team? Because I think not too long ago, centre-back was a position that people would have been debating, but just based on recent performances, is there no question in your mind that it's going to be Austin Trusty over Liam Scales?
No, not at all. I think Trusty and Carter Vickers are looking very solid, which I suppose augurs well for the American team as well, but the fact that they play together there. But no, I think they're looking very comfortable, and that's obviously what Brendan Rodgers had in mind as appearing. I've always thought that Liam Scales is maybe playing above himself a lot of the time just to stay in the team. Although he has improved. I guess the other one would be Greg Taylor, who's always a whipping boy. Again, he did start the game at Tynecastle a wee bit ropey. But, you know, I don't expect Greg Taylor to be Celtic's left-back for next year under Brendan Rodgers, although I think that's hard on him as on Scales. But apart from that, no real worries.
But you said it, he's a whipping boy. Nobody played well for Celtic in the first half at Tynecastle. Nobody. Didn't have a single shot at goal in 45 minutes. So there's no reason to single out Greg Taylor. The performance level for everyone rose considerably in the second half. But I really do feel that Taylor, it's always Taylor. If it's not Taylor, it's Ralston. You know, the two big whipping boys at Celtic.
It's funny how quickly football moves, because not long ago, Liam Scales has been talked about for his performances last season, at the start of this season as well. It looked as if, despite Austin Trusty, £6 million had been spent on him, that Cameron Carter-Vickers and Liam Scales would continue to be that pairing. But only a few performances from Austin Trusty, and all of a sudden it looks as if the default centre-back pairings changed.
Yeah, like you say, you know, football changes very, very quickly. I liked Paul's point on saying that Liam Scales is almost like, for him to play at the level that he was playing at, he had to be like at least a 9 out of 10 week in, week out, in terms of everything he was given. There's nothing wrong with that because he was doing it. But at some point, that, you know, that level is going to drop. Obviously, you know, Brendan got Trusty in from Sheffield United. You know, again, playing with Carter Vickers in America, it's all about relationships in football. And he had a shaky start against Falkirk, you know, but obviously Brendan had seen more than enough when signing him, and he's now been put in, and those two look extremely strong together. I think they complement each other really, really well, and that's the most important thing. But should one of them, you know, drop off in terms of performances, then Liam Scales is there to back them up. But yeah, as you said, you know, a week, 2 weeks in football is a really long time.
It's an inevitability. If you pay that money for Trusty, you're not going to play Liam Scales in front of him until such times as he becomes untrustworthy, at which point you're out and Liam Scales was back in. But that's the partnership now, until they undo the partnership, either one of them.
Well, thank you to Paul. 01419511025. More of your calls, and we'll go live to Nice next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley in the studio with me, Andrew McLean, building up to a huge night in the Champions League for Celtic against Club Bruges. 01419511025 on the phones. We've been debating who's going to start for Celtic. We'll get that team news in about 20 minutes. The big talking point seems to be Arne Engels or, I was going to say Rayo Hatate there, but that's just because we were talking during the break about the caller last night that said he'd go for a straight swap with Motherwell for Lennon Miller.
That's even worse than me talking about Nicholas Coon.
I'm, with all due respect to Motherwell, I'm not sure they're going to be able to cover the cost of Rio Hatate's wages if that was to come about.
Yeah, well, they could if they sell all the other players.
Of course, I meant Paulo Bernardo or Arne Engel. So any thoughts on that, give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Gary is a Celtic fan in Blantyre. Gary, what are you making of it tonight?
Good evening, lads. I hope you're well.
You too?
I said to the producer when I was talking to him there, it's all the most confident you would be as a Celtic fan for a long time, getting into a Champions League game. But clearly, there's still a team that need to be kind of taken care of, and there's no diddy teams in this competition. So I'm sure, and I know that the players are like, and what Brendan's like, they'll be level-headed getting into the match, and they'll know they'll need to kind of win the battles before they're maybe allowed to express themselves with their football. But just temper it with a bit of caution. As a fan, that is, because like I say, I know Brendan will have the players kind of in the right mindset. But yeah, just another good night at Celtic Park, hopefully.
I think you go up to the game and you're entitled to think, oh, team's going really well, top of the league. Others have started to falter, domestically speaking. Coming off the back of a terrific second half against Hearts, everything about Celtic right now is positive. I don't think there's anything wrong with going up there with optimism. You know, if Celtic were to lose the game, it's, number one, not a disaster. Number two, why would there be any dubiety about Club Brugge getting a result at Celtic Park when they are as good as they are? But go along, enjoy, be optimistic until the grounds for optimism are taken away.
Is that a big thing? Because of the work that Celtic have done so far in the group stage, getting that win against Leipzig at home that a lot of people wouldn't have thought Celtic would have got, that they don't need to have a perfect second half of the Champions League. They can drop points here and there, and they'll have a good chance of still qualifying.
Yeah, listen, like you said, you know, winning games earlier on has made things easier. But one thing you know about Celtic, they're born winners. So they don't have in their minds, we can drop off here, we can take it a little bit easy here, because that's not in their nature. That's not in the makeup of Celtic Football Club, especially this season as well, in terms of in Europe. So the players won't be thinking about that at all. They'll be going into this game as if they've got no points so far. And this is, you know, a game we have to perform, we have to take something out of, because that's how you keep on progressing. That's how you keep on, you know, getting points. And 3 points again would be wonderful for them. A draw, not the end of the world. But as Hugh said, even if they were to lose this game today, as long as they do things to the best of their ability, make sure Club Brugge come here and beat them, not Celtic beating themselves.
We talked a bit about team selection earlier on, Gary. There's, you know, certainly the debate about Engels or Bernardo. We talked about, you know, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales, Alex Faye and Greg Taylor. As a Celtic fan at the moment, if Brendan Rodgers was to choose one or the other of those selections, is the confidence just there that Celtic can go out and put in the same type of performance they did against Leipzig because the players are all playing at such a high level at the moment?
Yeah, I think that's the kind of beauty about Celtic at the minute. It doesn't really matter who comes out, who comes in. I mean, arguably Lou McCown could come in tonight for one of them, and the style doesn't change. The kind of the quality doesn't change. It's a very good, obviously a good situation to be in, where you can bring players in that, you see, Brendan always mentions it, the intensity that Celtic play it for the full 90 minutes is only due to the subs that come on maybe after 60, 70 minutes, just to keep that tempo up. You see yourself, the style doesn't change, they just slot in kind of almost seamlessly. So it doesn't matter who plays tonight, because Arne Engels, Bernardo, Valle, Taylor, they will still be the same sort of system, and it'll probably be the same kind of level of performance. I'll just clarify, I'm optimistic, I'm just not taking anything for granted. That's coming up, I'm trying to say, in my first point.
I think when Leipzig scored against Celtic at Celtic Park, you then had concerns for Celtic. But we all know what happened thereafter. They stormed back into it. So Celtic have earned the right to feel good about themselves and good about tonight. At the same time, to underline Gary's point, there should be no distress if it were to be a draw, or even if the Belgians won, because they are a good team.
Well, thank you to Gary. Any more thoughts on that? 01419511025. We should be getting the Celtic team news in about 15 minutes, I think. So we'll go back to Celtic Park when we get those in. And Adam will give us an update. Rangers have had their press conference this evening over in Nice ahead of that game tomorrow. I think it's not long finished up. Gabriel, our reporter, was there. And we'll cross live to Nice to speak to him now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yeah, Gabriel, a big game tomorrow for Rangers in the Europa League. Philip Clement over the last few weeks has had a lot of questions to answer. What was on the agenda today?
Yes, Andrew, as you say, certainly a massive game here at the Allianz Riviera. Just spoken to manager Philippe Clement there. A few interesting things coming out of that press room. Of course, everyone knows that the pressure is mounting, especially after that 1-1 draw against Dundee United at Ibrox at the weekend. When Clement was asked if he's had any talks with the board or the few people who are on the board, he said there's been no new discussions over his future. One really interesting point is he did speak to the incoming CEO, Patrick Stewart. Of course, you know that Stewart has been appointed. He's going to start on the 16th of December, the day after the League Cup final. Clement said they had really good, positive talks and were discussing how to take a step forward with the club. So really interesting to know what Rangers fans will think of that as well. But that's certainly the main talking point, Andrew. Patrick Stewart, the incoming CEO, has been discussing things about Rangers with Luke Clement.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic Rangers have at the moment because there are quite a lot of fans who don't want the manager to be there. I think that's fair to say.
Correct.
And then you've got an incoming CEO who looks as if he'll be the big decision maker coming in at a time where there's a lot of pressure surrounding the club.
They can have talks, but they're meaningless because Rangers have to play St Johnstone away, Kilmarnock at Ibrox, Tottenham in the Europa League at Ibrox, and then the cup final against Celtic. If that doesn't go well for Philippe Clement, Patrick Stewart won't be there to meet him because he won't be there.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Stewart, it's the, was it the 15th of December, or 16th of December, isn't it, that he starts after the League Cup final. But he'll want to try and assess the situation as early as he possibly can before he even gets his feet under the desk.
Yeah, he'll be assessing the situation from now. You know, I think as soon as he realised he was going to come in as CEO, he starts to do his work. As Hugh said there, at this moment in time, it's meaningless because he doesn't officially start until the 16th. But you better believe it that Philippe Clement and everybody else who he's in charge of will be on a trial period now because, you know, he's coming in to make a statement and to make Rangers Football Club better. He knows at this moment in time, things have gone wrong. The fact they sit third in the league, you know, isn't acceptable. And he has to come in and change it because now it's his name and his reputation that's on the line. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be an interesting few weeks where people, as Hugh said there, they need to get results, they need to get performances. It's a massive few weeks coming up.
It's not a scaremongering scenario. It's quite simply the case that if Rangers drop any league points to St Johnstone and or Kilmarnock, the atmosphere around the club intensifies in a negative way. If Tottenham come and do what Tottenham did to Man City last weekend, there's trouble. And if Celtic win the cup final, there's more trouble. So the Patrick Stewart and Philippe Clement can exchange pleasantries, but they can discuss nothing of a definite nature because the whole landscape changes if those four games are not negotiated well by Rangers.
What was Philippe Clement saying specifically about the game tomorrow, Gabriel?
It was interesting, Andrew. Clement, of course, was the manager in this area of France at Monaco for a couple of years as well. So he knows what Nice are all about. And he said, though, he's not here for a holiday. He's not here to meet old friends, meet people. He's fully focused on the game. But again, he was saying that it's a must win for Nice. It's certainly more important for them. That was something that the Nice manager was saying to us this afternoon as well. Nice have just got 2 points in this new Europa League group phase where Rangers already have 7. So if Rangers were to win tomorrow night, they'd reach that magic 10 points that we think will guarantee qualification to the knockouts. But he said even a point here would be good. And I think that's something that most Rangers fans would agree with. Just the lights going off behind me now. Thankfully, I've still got my ring light. But tomorrow night, it's going to be packed out here. What I do have to say as well that was interesting from Clement is he disagrees with the notion that Rangers are more suited to playing in Europe and that they're better playing in Europe. You know, we've seen good results, the win away at Malmo, the 4-0 victory over Steaua Bucharest. But Clement said that's not the case. It's been more about injuries and attacking creativity that you might not need as much in Europe, but you need more in Scotland. He listed the injuries to Hadji, Lawrence, Cortez, Matondo, and said these are the reasons, the injuries, why they haven't been so free-flowing back in Scotland. But he doesn't think they're more suited to playing in Europe. He says there's no excuses, and it's all about trying to pick up 3 points tomorrow night, although a draw would be a positive result.
It's an interesting one, that, because it's not just under Philippe Clement that Rangers have found better results, better performances in Europe, in the Europa League on a Thursday night. Is that the type of things that fans will buy into, that, you know, it's to do with personnel rather than it suiting Rangers better?
One man's opinion: the Rangers fans regard Europe this season as an irrelevance because they're distressed by what's happening. They call this programme every night, every weekend. They've started the call from inside the ground now while games are going on. Rangers have lost to Aberdeen, to Kilmarnock, to Celtic. They have slipped to third. They are in danger of slipping even further unless Clement can find the brand of football that the fans go for. He's emptying the stadium. He's emptying it by half-time on occasion. And Europe is, it's a nice little luxury to be able to say, oh, beat Nice, whoever. But the Rangers fans, the big title may already have gone. Celtic may already have title 55. And the Rangers fans regard that as unacceptable.
Just finally, Gabriel, any specific team news coming out of Rangers?
No, nothing too much, Andrew. I think they look very similar to the weekend. Players are nearing return. Oscar Cortez has done some light training this week. But of course, you've got no Danilo and no Yanis Hadji in the European squad. So I'd expect a very similar 11 to the one we saw against Dundee United on Saturday.
Well, thank you to Gabriel. He can use that ring light now to do his hair before heading out on the town tonight.
What is a ring light?
It's a thing that sort of influencers and whatever use to
basically
just gives
a
you a
new
sort of
lamp,
nice,
new age lamp.
Yeah,
view.
Just gives a nice even lighting when you're
what
filming
was wrong
something.
With an old age lamp.
Too expensive to use those.
Yeah. So that was out of his own pocket. He bought that to make sure that he looks good on these.
How vain.
What a poser.
Rangers fans, any thoughts on those comments from Philippe Clement? We'll hear a bit of those in the second hour of the show. But Celtic fans, we're about to get the team news from Celtic Park. So 0141 951 1025. We'll get your calls next. I'll tell you about this first.
Christmas Cash Countdown.
Win £500,000 this Black Friday.
Yeah, you'll want to hear this as well. There's a guaranteed winner of £500,000 this week on the Christmas Cash Countdown. It's the biggest prize we've ever paid out, and it could be in your bank account on Black Friday. So get in the draw now. In just 2 days' time, you could have won £500,000. Text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. And get 2 for 1 on your first entry, plus 10 for the price of 1 if you enter a second time. Texts are £250 plus a standard network rate. Entries cost £2.50 on our website as well, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Rules for this rail network competition are at Clyde1.com. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. It's so simple as well. Just answer your phone, and if we do phone you, then £500,000 is yours. That is it. Paid into your bank account straight after the call. It's a guaranteed winner, so someone will win the lot. So for your chance to win £500,000, text YES to 61025 now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, building up to a huge night of Champions League action. Celtic against Club Bruges. And I think we will get team news in a couple of seconds from Celtic Park. I've just been sent a photo by Adam, who's at Celtic Park, for us to say that the Bruges players are out on the pitch and they've not got their traditional tracksuits on. Instead, they're all dressed in these sort of varsity jackets that you can see there.
Yeah.
Which
see if you can
is,
get one for us.
You having that, Hugh? Do you quite like that? A wee college style, American college style jacket?
Yeah. I grew up on the Archie comics. You don't know what that means, but Archie comics were from America, and you know, we were growing up kind of the 1950s, you know, so that looked very glamorous. American movies always look very glamorous, and with the varsity gear. So, I'm having that big thing.
We can get you one with a big H on the side as well. I think that would look good.
Yeah. I could see Marv and I cutting
about. I'm liking that. I'm liking that jacket.
Just a night out in the town with you two in your varsity jackets. I need to see that. Right. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, what do you make of this team news? We're going to go to Celtic Park now. Adam has the teams.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. And no changes to the Celtic side that beat Hearts 4-1 at Tynecastle at the weekend. They line up in their usual formation. Kasper Schmeichel in goal, a back four of Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor. Midfield three, Callum McGregor, Rio Hitati, and the manager opts to go with Arne Engels instead of Paolo Bernardo. The front three, Nicholas Kuhn off the right, Dejan Maeda off the left and Kyogo Furuhashi up front. On the bench for Celtic, Sinisalo, Scales, Palma, Ida, Vai, Yang, McCowan, Nabrowski, Bernardo, Forrest, Ralston and Welsh. For the visitors, Club Bruges, might be some names that you recognise in here. Simon Mignolet starts in goals for them. The rest of the team reads Cease, Michel, Ordóñez, De Cupier, Onyedika, Jashari, Van Aken, who is a bit of a club legend at Club Bruges, Belgian international, could actually eclipse 500 appearances this season. Skov Olsen, likely to play off the right-hand side. Jukla and Shawless, the main man off the left, remember, scored four goals at the weekend. So Club Bruges pretty much as expected there, without five players for the trip to Glasgow tonight, which includes former Celtic central defender Dedrick Boyata. Tonight's match officials are from Bulgaria. Georgi Kabakov is the man in the middle and Dragomir Dragunov is on VAR duty. But yeah, top line, Andrew, is that Arne Engels starts and not Paolo Bernardo.
Manager's not going to throw him under a bus.
I thought you were just about to brag about getting a prediction right
there. No. One or two along the way. But he's not going to throw Engels under any passing bus on London Road. He understands that the club paid that money for him because he's a very good player. If his form has fluctuated, it's understandable in the early days of his time at Celtic. So that's the team. But I have to emphasise, it's who finishes games for Celtic this season that has often been important. On that bench, James Forrest, Adam Ida, Louis Palma, Luke McCowan. There are others there who can come on and help Celtic in the latter stages.
Yeah, it was evident at Tynecastle the weekend, wasn't it, when Celtic brought on Paolo Bernardo, brought on Adam Ida, and the two of them had a real big impact.
Yeah, it's a squad game, as Hugh said there, and Celtic's squad is so strong. You know, they're in a position now where they can make substitutions and they actually make the team better at the point of coming on. And what I mean by that is, after playing 60 minutes, Engels, for example, Bernardo, you know, coming on only playing 30 is an improvement because it gives them new energy and new ideas. So, you know, Brendan Rodgers has got the squad he wants. Again, you know, I spoke about Engels starting. I'm not surprised at all. When you go to your board and you say you want to pay £11.5 million for a player, he needs to be starting in the big games. And as a manager, that definitely comes into the back of your mind. The same thing with Trusty, because guess what? Brendan Rodgers will go to that board again in the not-too-distant future and require even more money for players. So if they're not going to come in and impact it and they're not going to play games of football, the board are more likely to say no than yes. When you can see these players are playing and they're contributing to Celtic only losing one game this season, which obviously we know about against Borussia Dortmund, you know, I think he's in a right good position in terms of, you know, improving the squad again and again.
Celtic fans, what do you make of that team news? 0141 951 1025. Josh is a Celtic fan up next. Josh, how are you feeling about tonight?
Right, Gordon. Right, boys. How are we doing?
You're right, buddy.
Yeah, sound. So, you know, the points that I've got on a general term is that Celtic need to capitalise on the fact they've played their way into a strong position in the group through the performances. So, you know, the Dortmund game aside, very efficient from back to front. Different styles of performance depending on the requisite needs and demands of the individual matches. Look at the Atalanta game, for example. Very defensively disciplined and organised. You've got the Leipzig game full of attacking flair and creativity.
And I think quite a lot of it is epitomised by Callum McGregor, the inspirational leader and the heartbeat of the side. He sort of ups the level of those around him, paramountly vital to the culture and embedding the values and high standards across the whole club. So that's what sort of angle I'm looking at it from, boys. We need to go into this game tonight full of confidence and build on this momentum.
I think Atalanta was massive in terms of the confidence lift from keeping a clean sheet against a very good Italian side. I wouldn't dispute Josh's comment about Callum McGregor, because he has been nothing short of superb since becoming the Celtic captain in succession to Scott Brown. But you know, I was out speaking at a school today, so hello to everybody at St Mary's Primary in Dantoka, and the kids there love their football, love this programme, and love Nicholas Kuhn. He could be massive for Celtic tonight, because you can talk about Kyogo, and rightly so, Daizen Maeda. We've made a great deal about Arne Engels, the £11 million player. But Nicholas Kuhn, for me, right now, is the man for Celtic.
I know a caller earlier on had a bit of a pop at Hugh about his opinions about Nicholas Kuhn last season, but I think he just has surprised everyone. I think it's 11 goals and 11 assists already this season. We're not even into December yet. The level of performance he's managed to hit in some games, especially against RB Leipzig, those are the types of performances you need in the Champions League from some of your players to get big wins, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, his performances have been breathtaking at times. As he said, I don't think many people saw from where he was last season to do what he's doing so far this season. And you speak about those European games, but I think it was also massive against Hearts when he puts the ball in the back of the net from an angle. I think he's the only person on the pitch that could have done that. He looked too wide for everybody else, and you know, smashes it past Craig Gordon. So, yeah, in terms of his performances, he's been absolutely brilliant. Just touching on Callum McGregor in terms of what Josh was saying, about how important he is. I think Callum McGregor learned an awful lot about that Celtic team and being a holding midfielder at the top level against Borussia Dortmund. As strange as that would sound, I think when he realised how expansive they were, how open they were, how easily they were penetrated, I think he's taken his game onto the next level. Not in terms of just what he does on the ball, but his organisational skills as well when they don't have the ball.
Brendan Rodgers was talking about the Dortmund game yesterday, and he said that he felt it almost had a trampoline effect for his players, that they had that disappointment, but it sort of propelled them forward in a way because they've managed to learn from it, go through that experience, that he thinks they've come back at a higher level. And he said, he mentioned it at the time after the Dortmund game, referenced the fact that people thought he was maybe talking nonsense at that point. But Celtic have gone on to prove against Atalanta and against RB Leipzig that they have learned those lessons. It was something that Brendan Rodgers had said as Celtic manager before, that we'll learn from these games. The evidence hadn't really been there previously, but it's there now.
I think the first thing you learn is, I never want to go through that again.
Yeah.
So they have been inspired, if that's the correct word, inspired by a 7-1 hammering. Never want to have that happen again. There's no chance of that happening to Celtic now. As I say, Atlanta was massive in terms of the confidence boost to keep a clean sheet in Italy. But Celtic at the moment are thinking positively. Let's get Kuhn, Maeda, Kyogo, let's get them involved right away here, get the ball there. And they're thinking positively. As I say, always, always, always at the back of their mind, acknowledging that this is a very good team they're playing tonight, but they've earned the right to go into this match. It's a 50-50 game for me.
Josh, how big would it be for Celtic if they can hit that 10-point mark tonight?
Oh, massive. And, you know, just in terms of the team news, like the lads who've been playing recently deserve that loyalty that's being given to them by the manager. The sort of that analogy of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, to an extent. And Hugh was spot on, and Marvin was spot on about Nicholas Kuhn. He's sort of been the heartbeat of the forward line anyway. You know, he's consistent with his numbers and his goal-scoring ability. And he's working in out of possession as well. And I want to add as well about Carter Vickers, Trusty and Schmeichel as that back unit. They were throwing themselves in front of shots against Hearts. Even, you know, late on in the game when, you know, the game might have been up and they could have been excused for taking the foot off the gas. You know, they sort of kept going all through the game to provide the solid platform and the organised and sturdy structure for those in front of them. So it's important to mention that as well. It isn't all about Nicholas Kuhn, Callum McGregor, Kyogo, the names that have been mentioned there. It's about the back unit as well, Hugh and Marvin, isn't it?
The only caveat I would throw in there, I thought early on, Hearts were wasteful. You know, Penrice ought to have scored. with the off the cushioned header from Lauren Shankland. And Lauren Shankland of last season would have scored with the chance he missed. Having said that, Celtic turned a poor first half into a spectacular second half, and largely due to the influence of players who were not there at the start of the first half, James Forrest, Adam Eder. But the shining light is Kuhn, and as Marvin said, that goal, breathtaking in quality, and lifted Celtic to a level where the Hearts fans started to leave the ground because they're thinking to themselves, can't live with that.
Well, thank you to Josh. More of your calls to come next, but first of all, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, your chance to test yourself against either Hugh Keevans or Marvin Bartley. Marvin's already laughing,
this
are
is
you?
An easy day, I think. I think
this phone line's been red hot. Is this the opposite of the Roger Hannah, yeah, Andy Halliday, yeah, complex, yeah, we've got on a Monday?
We are the polar opposite to, yeah, those two.
Oh well, if you want a bit of an open goal, give us a call before 7 o'clock, 0141 0141 951 1025. Beat the Pundit up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Less than 45 minutes to go. Actually, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, isn't it? I'm talking, yeah, nonsense. An hour to go until kickoff at Celtic Park between Celtic and Club Bruges. We'll bring you plenty more build-up to that game. We'll hear a bit from Philippe Clement, who's been speaking ahead of Rangers game against Nice tomorrow. We'll look back on that crazy, crazy night at Easter Road last night. Hibs 3, Aberdeen 3. Three of the goals coming in injury time. What a match that was. But first of all, we need to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I'm not sensing an air of confidence about the pair of you tonight.
No.
Although our stats aren't too bad.
Well, it's kind of like the Champions League and Europa League tables. It's changing all the time. Simon went level with you, Marvin, in our league table, Beat the Pundit league table, last night, and he went above you, Hugh.
Well, you see,
so it's time to hit back.
People talk about, should Andy Halliday be on -2 like Roger Hanna? And the people talk about Marvin me as if, give them two of a start.
+2.
Yeah.
Hugh +2. Keevans actually has quite a nice ring to it. Yeah. Maybe we should start that campaign. I tell you what, it's not going to start tonight. We've got Liam, who's in Paisley. Liam, have you played before?
Hey, never, mate, no.
No, who do you want to play?
Oh, Hugh, it's got to be Hugh all day,
that. I like that.
I like that, Liam.
+2, Hugh. Not tonight, though, don't worry. Am I right in saying you're on your way to the game tonight, Liam?
Yeah, we're on route there, yeah.
What are you more confident of, win and Beat the Pundit or a Celtic win?
Oh, Celtic win, definitely. I've not got much hope myself tonight.
Right, okay, this could be the worst game of Beat the Pundit of all time, then.
Have you got backup in the car, Liam, or are you on public transport?
I do have backup, but I hope...
Signal's gone.
Have we got you, Liam?
Aye, sorry.
Oh, there we go. You were saying you got backup, yeah?
Aye, but hopefully no needed.
There we go. I like that. Right, heads, it will be Hugh Keevans. Tails, Marvin Bartley. Heads, Hugh.
Oh, Liam's got his wish.
So you got your wish.
You keep quiet.
So you now need to back up. We will put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Hugh Keevans so he can't hear anything that's going on. He's given me the nod. He can't hear us. So Liam, it is 30 seconds on the clock. Answer as many questions as you can. And remember, you can pass as well. And for every correct answer that you get right as well, this is all thanks to Neil Stephen and the team at Cairnhill Steel Structures, because every correct answer you get, £10 is going to Cash for Kids. That's running for the next few weeks. So a bit of extra pressure for you there, Liam, to help charity as well.
Let's do it.
Nice one. Right, let's do it. Roscoe is the mascot of which top flight team?
Ross County.
How many Scottish clubs has Derek McInnes managed?
2.
Name any Belgian player that's played for Celtic.
Ali Ingles.
Who was Scotland women's manager before Pedro Martinez Losa?
Pass.
In what city did Rangers 2008 UEFA Cup final take place?
Manchester.
Which Scottish Premiership side had twins in their first team squad?
Hibs.
True or false, the 1987 Scottish Cup final was the last time when all of the players, managers and officials were Scottish?
True.
Okay, right, we can bring Hugh Keevans back in now. Can you hear us loud and clear?
I can.
Good stuff, right. Same for you, Hugh. 30 seconds on the clock, let's go. Roscoe is the mascot of which top flight team?
Ross County.
How many Scottish clubs has Derek McInnes managed?
Three.
Name any Belgian that's played for Celtic.
Dedric Boyata.
Who was the Scotland women's manager before Pedro Martinez Losa?
Shirley Kea.
In what city did Rangers 2008 UEFA Cup final take place?
Manchester.
Which Scottish Premiership side has twins in their first team squad?
Hibs.
True or false, the 1987 Scottish Cup final was the last time when all of the players, managers and officials were Scottish?
False.
Okay, right. How do you feel that went, Liam?
Similar answers, so I'm thinking it might be tight.
Could be tight. You know what? It was a much better game than we predicted.
Yeah.
It's a high-scoring game, this, I think. Yeah. Roscoe is the mascot of which Scottish top-flight team? Pretty easy. Roscoe, Ross County. You both got it. One all. How many Scottish clubs has Derek McInnes managed? Liam went for two. Hugh went for three. It is three. St Johnstone, Aberdeen and Kilmarnock. So it goes 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. Name any Belgian that's played for Celtic. Liam went for Arne Engels. You went for Dedric Boyata. It means it goes 3-2 to Hugh. Who was the Scotland women's manager before Pedro Martinez Losa? She's been in the news because she's got a new job
as
development at Hearts. Yeah. Shelley Kerr. Hugh gets it right. Liam didn't. So Hugh pulls away. He's 4-2 up. In what city did Rangers 2008 UEFA Cup final take place? You both got it. Still 2 to Hugh. Which Scottish Premiership side has twins in their first team squad? Hibs. You both got it. The Cadens, of course, Chris and Nicky. And final question for both of you, which means Hugh wins anyway because he's 6-4 up at that point. But, Hugh, you had every question right up until that point. So,
yeah.
Do you have the chance to do the 10? True or false? The 1987 Scottish Cup final was the last time when all of the players, managers and officials were Scots. You went for false. Liam went for true. The answer is true. It's the only one you didn't get right. 6-5 to Hugh Keevans. But I'll tell you what, Liam, 5 good is a game. Very, very respectable score.
Nailed it.
Yeah, you just caught Hugh in an in-form night.
Doesn't happen often.
Yeah, are you expecting Celtic to be in form tonight?
Fingers crossed, it'll be a good watch at least, but I'll go 2-0.
You quite happy with the team news? Arne Engels starting ahead of Paulo Bernardo?
I'd have probably went Bernardo myself, but other than that, I'd say it's pretty spot on.
What is it you think Paulo Bernardo offers maybe in a game like this that Arne Engels doesn't?
I think coming on off the bench, Bernardo's probably showed more than Engels has the last couple of games. But I still think Engels will do the job tonight.
I'm not saying that he should always come off the bench, but that in itself is something that's good to have. You know, if Paulo Bernardo comes on and gives you that energy and purpose in the last half hour, and the fans have got to give Engels a decent break, though. I mean, he's not even halfway through his first season at Celtic. If one or two of the games have not been as good as others, that's life. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you to Liam. Enjoy the game tonight. And of course, the fact that it was a high-scoring game and he got 5 means that is £50 from Cairnhill Steel Structures that is going to go to Cash for Kids as well. So that's the thing. If you're going to come on and you're going to lose, at least make it a high-scoring defeat.
Yeah.
So it's a charitable cause.
He did well. Well done, Liam.
Well done, Liam.
Yes, good work. Good work from you. You can sense the excitement from the supporters, can't you?
Yeah. These nights are fantastic at Celtic Park. And as I said at the very start of the programme, I always find Alistair Johnson has a wonderful turn of phrase. I don't know if that's true of all Canadians, but he said that the sound, to use his words, not mine, don't come shouting at me, I've got enough trouble with Nicholas Coon, but he said that it was guttural and it was almost inhumane where the opposition were concerned. And it will be all of that and more at 2 or 3 minutes to 8 tonight.
What can that do for visiting players at Celtic Park on a night like that, when it is electric, when the noise is deafening? if there are players that maybe haven't played in an atmosphere like that, can it rock you if that atmosphere is not coming from your supporters?
Definitely. You know, here players talk about it an awful lot, especially on European nights, you know, coming and realising the noise when you're actually there, it's, you know, a lot louder than you ever expected. But it can put you into, it's not a state of shock, but yeah, listen, it can make you think, wow, like we're in a real, real game today. And before you know it, the game has started, and if, you know, you start the game slow, or you make a mistake, or everything that Celtic do is cheered, you know, becomes louder and louder and more difficult to play against. So yeah, listen, players coming to Celtic Park, they won't understand, unless they've been there before, they won't understand the noise on a European night. And as you said, you hope that Club Brugge come and it's almost like rabbits in the headlights scenario, and Celtic can start fast and, you know, get an early goal.
Well, thank you to Liam, who of course played Beat the Pundit there. That was maybe the biggest battle since earlier on today, Marvin Bartley against Eli Yuan on Instagram.
Yeah. that was just embarrassing.
Come on, Marvin. Let's hear
what do you want from me?
Well, he posted up, I think everyone's aware of the you know, your take on him doing keepy ups when Jordan Obita had been sent off, obviously the state of play at Hibs at the moment. He was then given man of the match last night and posted up an Instagram story that had, what was the quote?
I actually can't remember now. This is embarrassing or something? Or
disappointing, embarrassing, something along those lines.
Look, you should have got that on the screen.
And tagged you in it.
Yeah. So listen, being an old man that I am, Hugh, I was in bed. I think it was quite late last night. So, well, past 11 o'clock anyway, which is my bedtime. So my phone went off a couple of times, and then I put it on Do Not Disturb. And then it was when I woke up in the morning and had an array of messages, and, you know, on social media and also on WhatsApp.
It's not acceptable, was the quote.
It's not acceptable. There you go. Yeah. And obviously, listen, it's brilliant. He played extremely well yesterday. It's added the team. There's some real good performances in there. They got the 3-3 draw against Aberdeen, which is fantastic. And, you know, he had a good game. So, yeah, I was tagged in that late last night and then saw it this morning. I've actually spoke to him briefly today because it was kind of getting to a point where I didn't want him to think that this was like a personal thing against him.
Yeah.
It was more the action of what he did on the pitch. So, you know, that was the important thing for me. But yeah, he tagged me in it. I think he got me a few more followers, so I thank him for that. And you listen, I went back with, you know, what I went back with, really.
Is it more about the general standards at the club when you say something like that? When they're in the position they're in, you feel that the standards need to be brought up?
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it, as a player. And I've played for the football club, and, you know, when things aren't going well, it's about just working hard and keeping your head down. And as I said, you know, if we'd have been higher up in the league, or if we'd have won a game of football even, you know, it's slightly different. But, you know, it seems that social media is the go-to thing now for players. And don't get me wrong, I'm speaking like an old man here. I didn't retire that long ago. But performances are important. You know, winning is the main thing. And as I said, you know, I'm more than willing to take it, you know, when a team are doing well. But when we, you know, find ourselves bottom of the league, you know, one win all season, I think I actually said to him that San Marino have won more games this season than Hibs. You know, so it's one of those things. But as I said, you know, I spoke to him and I told him, you know, kind of my views on it, and he gave me his views on it. And yeah, you know, hopefully that the team can kick on from now, because that's the most important thing, to get away from this relegation battle.
When Nicholas Cruden calls me, I will say, listen, Nick, when I said you were okay, that's not my opinion for life. That was my opinion then, early in your Celtic career. Now, you're wonderful.
I was going to say that I'd like to see a keep-up competition between Marvin and Eli Yuan.
Oh, he'd win.
With every keep-up, you know, £10 going to charity. But yeah, I've now changed my mind. I need to see Nicholas Coon against Hugh Keevans in a keep-up competition to see how that one plays out.
Well, do I have to wear the hush puppies? Or do I...
Your choice. You can get some studs on the bottom, I think. We could try and get that for you.
One thing I would say that's been quite interesting, sorry, Hugh, to interrupt, is, you know, the reaction of people who've played the game and been in the game has been probably quite different to maybe more people of the general public, which has been quite funny. A lot of boys I played with, and some boys I don't even know actually, have been in contact and, you know, kind of given their viewpoint on it as well. So, no, it has been interesting. There's been a couple of people told me that I wasn't very good at football myself anyway. So that always goes down well. So, no, listen, it's been brilliant. Hopefully it's a line drawn in the sand now, and he can kick on and get on with the rest of his Hibs career and just keep running around like he was yesterday.
Listen, if they don't win at Motherwell on Saturday, I'll slaughter them.
I knew you had my back here.
Hibs fans, if you've got any views on that, maybe on the game last night, maybe you just want to phone in and tell Marvin Bartley he's not very good at football. 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Craig, who's a Rangers fan on the line. Craig, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi there, guys. Hope you're all well.
You're right, mate.
No, it was just to say, I actually hope Celtic get a positive result tonight. I think it would be really good if they can get a positive result against Bruges.
For what reason, Craig?
Well, because Scottish football, in general. I think it's always good for Scottish football if Scottish teams do well in Europe. And that's my opinion.
It's a magnanimous point of view to take. You'll understand, Craig, it's not a widely held view among Rangers fans that Celtic do well, or vice versa, for that matter.
No, maybe not, but I think that's just a wee bit ignorant to think. Why would you want Celtic to lose tonight when they can actually help build up the coefficient, which they have been doing against Leipzig and whatnot?
Yep.
So,
a man after my own heart with that view.
If Celtic do well tonight, then it's good. I think a draw, I think most Celtic fans would accept their draw tonight before the start of the campaign.
They'll still get young boys to come, and young boys are rock bottom of the Champions League table. Not a point. So, you know, if Celtic did get a draw tonight, fine. Young boys at Celtic Park, you really do have to target that one and say they don't have a point.
Yeah.
Surely you can take care of them at Celtic Park.
Craig, how are you feeling ahead of tomorrow night's game? How are you feeling about the general state of Rangers at the moment?
I think I was on a few weeks ago and I said, even though we're not doing well in the league, we usually do well in Europe, and I think we did do well in the Olympiacos game, to be fair.
Do you support my theory, Craig, that for Rangers supporters, Europe, it's all very well, but it's an irrelevance when you're so far behind on a domestic level and the fans want to see that situation bettered?
I'm kind of a different view because I don't think we are going to be able to compete domestically this year because we've brought in a lot of young guys. They've brought the wage bill down, the average age of the squad down. We've lost a lot of experienced players. So in my view, I'm not saying write the league off, but it's a totally different kettle of fish.
It's quite confusing, isn't it, when you look at Rangers domestically and in Europe. You almost need to take them completely separately, because what happens if Rangers get a big win tomorrow night? It puts them on 10 points. That means that they're already guaranteed at least a place in the playoff round, and things are looking positive in Europe. Rangers will have one of the better records in the Europa League, but then it gets to the weekend and all of a sudden the pessimism is back, no matter what happens tomorrow night.
That's part of the enigma for me. How can you do so well against better opposition in Europe and yet Kilmarnock can beat you? Dundee United can take 3 days by bus to get here, and even with their players stiffening up in the latter stages of the game, by which time the stadium is half empty because Rangers dropped two more points at home to Dundee United. There are elements of this that are unfathomable.
I think that happens to you because Rangers don't seem to have a style in terms of breaking teams down. So it's very much off the cuff. In Europe, you get a lot more opportunities, whether Clement, you know, agrees with us or not. I know he's saying there's no different, but I think the games are a lot more open. When it comes to domestic football, and you watch Celtic, I hate speaking about Celtic when we're on about Rangers at this moment in time, but Celtic wear teams down. So as good as Hearts were in the first half, yes, they brought in the substitutes, but Celtic have a way of playing where mentally and physically, they will wear you down. Where Rangers are quite direct and you're heading balls away and there's not a real, you know, ball going wide and people underlapping or overlapping, they're not really wearing you down because it's so off the cuff. They're using just as much energy attacking you as you are defending. Whereas Celtic know exactly what they're doing. They know the patterns of play. They know what they're doing when they go into that final third. And that's why I think Rangers really struggle when it comes to domestic football. And, you know, teams that you're seeing now are taking points against them or in the game against them a lot longer than they really should have been because, as I said, it just seems so off the cuff in the final third.
Thank you to Craig. We will hear a bit more from, or we'll hear from Philippe Clement after the break. If you've got any thoughts on that game, on Celtic's game tonight, maybe you want to talk about Hibs against Aberdeen. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your call. calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Closing in on kickoff between Celtic and Club Brugge at Celtic Park. We want more of your calls as well. 0141 951 1025. Maybe it's thoughts on team news. Maybe you are talking about confidence levels, how you're feeling after that Leipzig game, Celtic's Champions League journey, what it would be like to end the night with 10 points. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, we're just about to hear what Philippe Clement had to say on his pre-match media duties ahead of tomorrow night's game against Nice. So any thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. And of course, we will get round to what happened at Easter Road last night. Let's hear from Philippe Clement, as I mentioned, first of all, speaking about the new CEO, Patrick Stewart.
It's a very important thing because the last couple of months there was a big vacuum in the club and a lot of things could not be decided at that moment because there was nobody to decide those kind of things. So I'm really happy that Patrick is here now. We had a really good talk about everything, about the past year, my experiences. He's doing that with all the people in the club to make a good analyse and that he can start in a good way. He's going to start halfway December, I think. So that we can make a step forward again. Because, of course, for any club in the world, it's not good to be in that kind of vacuum situation.
Before I get your thoughts on that, I need to set up the teaser first. Yeah. Forgot to do that. Thanks to Bob and Shettleston for this one. Remember, you can email yours fulltime@clyde1.com. I'll just read it and you can think about it and we'll move on. We won't get any answers like right that. Now. Can you name the last three players from each of Celtic and Rangers to score against Belgian opposition? Can you name the last three players from each of Celtic and Rangers to score against Belgian opposition? I'll leave you to think and mull over that one. Philippe Clement talking there about Patrick Stewart. How big will that be for him to have someone in that position at the club? Because he's made it pretty clear that he's had to do things at Rangers that I think he said at one point that no manager in the world should have to do in terms of conversations he's been involved in and having to address the media in ways that maybe other managers wouldn't because there aren't people in those permanent positions of power.
And for that he deserves sympathy. The job did not resemble the package that was given to him when he became Rangers manager. Having said that, his talks with Patrick Stewart are simply that, just talking, having a conversation. There are no decisions that can be taken of a meaningful variety until Rangers get out of the way. Nice, followed by St Johnstone, followed by Kilmarnock, followed by Tottenham Hotspur, followed by a cup final against Celtic, and then they can talk meaningfully. But he is not in a position. Patrick Stewart, A, hasn't started work yet, and B, is not in a position to say, Philippe, I guarantee you you'll be the manager on December 16th. Because if these games that Rangers have do not go well, the fans, who are already baying for the manager's blood, will intensify the baying.
I echo his point in terms of, you know, having sympathy for him, because having been a manager myself, it is extremely tiring. And, you know, in terms of, you've got to do a lot of work. Obviously, you'll have, you know, a lot more staff than I did. But, you know, having to also be involved in conversations, like he said there, that he shouldn't really been in, your time's basically spent where you don't want it to be spent. The most important thing for him is what the team are doing. So that's on the pitch, that's analysing opponents, and it's analysing what Rangers have been doing going forward. And then come up with training sessions, etc. So, yeah, listen, in terms of having a CEO now and having, you know, the board level above him sorted out, there needs to be a change, though. We have to see a change in terms of what Rangers are doing going forward for that to be used as an, you know, valid excuse. Because if they continue to do the same things they're doing now and it's stuttering through games and it's winning games with no real style and, you know, people don't really know what they're getting when they go and watch Rangers, whether it's at home or away, then, you know, the fans are not going to be happy at all. I think this is probably his last chance saloon now in terms of he really needs to change it and change it quickly.
If this programme is any gauge, and for me, it's a reliable gauge of how supporters feel, Philippe Clement has already lost the backing of the Rangers fans. They don't want him. They don't like watching the team. They prove it by their absence at Ibrox and by their evacuation of the ground when things get bad during matches. So he, no manager, keeps his job in defiance of the club support. And ultimately, Rangers will have to address that situation if Philippe Clement goes on as he has been doing, and if further ground is lost in the title race, that brings matters to a head.
Well, 0141 951 1025, we want to hear from you on that. Maybe you've got some thoughts on Rangers game against Nice tomorrow. Celtic fans, we still want to hear from you. About half an hour to go until kickoff at Celtic Park. How are you feeling ahead of that game? Hibs fans, we want to hear from you as well on that madness last night. Aberdeen fans as well, what a game it was at Easter Road. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, this might also be some food for thought as well. Philippe Clement talking about the game tomorrow night.
But I'm not here for a holiday or to meet people tomorrow or to have talks with a lot of people. I'm here to work. I'm here to win together with the guys, or to do everything to win this game, because it's a massive game. For Nice, even more than for us, they have to win this one, clearly. We're going to go, like always, against every opponent. We will try to go for the win. We never play for a draw. If you can win here, I think we make a really big step in qualification, or you're almost certain of that. And taking a point can also be a really important point at the end. But we will go full for the 3 points against a really good team.
And based on form, they might very well get those 3 points. And you'll scratch your head and think, they can't beat Dundee United at home, but they can go to the Riviera and they can beat Nice. However... if they are anything like the way they were on Saturday, they'll toil. And they get better on Saturday when Hadji came onto the game. But Hadji wasn't included in Philippe Clement's European squad, which ultimately may be another thing that's held against them.
There was a sort of contractual problem there, wasn't there? Which, yeah, I don't think was really anything to do with Philippe Clement. It appeared to be more between Yanis Hadji, his representatives, the Rangers board as well, which was ironed out.
But he has given the impression, Philippe Clement, that he doesn't fully rate Yanis Hadji. So it's just one other thing. Yes, a result would be a positive. Yes, they could then carry that into the weekend, whether they're Perth on Sunday. But again, like Celtic playing Bruges tonight, you cannot dismiss the quality of the opposition. And if this team are as high up France's major league as they are, then they must have a formidable side to them.
Does Rangers' contrasting form and performances domestically and in Europe, does it make it just more confusing for supporters when they turn up on a Thursday night and they see players maybe playing at a higher level than they do domestically, they see the team looking more fluid than they do domestically, and then we'll turn up at a weekend and it'll be a lot more flat, the team aren't playing with the same urgency, they look a lot more, you know, sceptical at the back, mm-hmm, as well. Is that confusing for supporters? Because if it was a case that Rangers weren't playing well domestically and then weren't playing well in Europe, it would be obvious that just this isn't going to work. But because there are those signs, does that confuse things a bit?
Yeah, I think confusion is putting it nicely, for the reasons you've just stated there, that suddenly in Europe they can seem to, you know, turn it on and get, you know, relatively good performances. And like we said, if they win tomorrow's game, it puts them on 10 points, etc. And then come domestic games. But I said it earlier on in the show, I just think because it's the way they play in the final third that they are so off the cuff. And, you know, teams really come in against Rangers and they'll camp domestically and they're willing to give up possession. They're trying to hit them on the counter-attack. Whereas when they play in Europe, teams are actually thinking, we can beat them and we'll go head-to-head with them. And when I say they think they can beat them, they'll be like, well, we'll attack them and we'll believe we'll outscore them. Whereas teams domestic will be like, we'll nick a goal and then we'll defend it. So, yeah, it will be confusing for them, but I just think it's totally different styles that they're facing in Europe to what they're facing domestically. And they need to work out how to carry that, you know, European form into domestic games, because right now, as I said, you know, sitting so many points behind Aberdeen, who is sitting in second place, isn't the place they need to be.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. No matter what you want to talk about, get in touch on Twitter at ClydeSSB as well. We will go back to Celtic Park after the break, but first of all, need to touch a bit more on that game last night. Hibs 3, Aberdeen 3, 3 goals in injury time. It swung one way, then the other, then back the other way. I mean, just an incredible game of football with so many side stories along with it.
And first and foremost, I think we should recognise that fact. A really good game of football in a season which has produced many really good games of football. It's good for the league. The drama of it all, I can imagine my old friends in the press box who have just started to type up how wonderful it is Aberdeen have got another win and then discover Hibs have equalised. So, well done all round. But David Gray must assume that his players take tremendous heart, no pun intended. As Hibs are struggling at the foot of the table, they must go to Motherwell in good spirits and hope that the weekend turns Hibs into the second bottom team and puts Hearts as the bottom team because they're playing Aberdeen.
When teams are languishing at the bottom, quite a lot of the time, people will question the mentality of the team, whether you know they're able to drag themselves to results. Did last night maybe answer a few questions in this Hibs team on that? Because, I mean, it looked as if they'd thrown it away again, right to the death. But to be able to twice go and score and get back in the game and end up getting that point, that maybe shows something to supporters that maybe not all hope is lost.
No, exactly that. You know, the supporters coming away from the game were absolutely delighted with the fight that the team showed. So many times this season, you know, we've faced adversity and we've lost games of football where we've been ahead and then all of a sudden, you know, we concede a goal and then we capitulate. To do what they did yesterday and Rocky Bashiri getting a goal at the end, and he deserves a mention, by the way, because he's been out of the team. David Gray, by all accounts, said he's trained extremely well, you know.
Oh.
Is that him calling you now? That's Rocky calling him. Or is that Ellie?
No, it's Nicholas. Nicholas Coon. can't hear him for the crowd.
Yeah, so, you know, they showed that real, you know, bounce back ability to do that. And, you know, they'd have been absolutely delighted. But as Hugh said, it's so important they now take that onto Saturday's game and need to show that the confidence and, you know, the feel good factor in terms of, you know, getting that last gasp equaliser, they take it into Saturday's game and get a win because they need to start climbing the table and quickly. But yeah, in terms of answering your question, definitely a good thing to have, a good, great characteristic to have as a squad.
Right, Callum is an Aberdeen fan who we're going to speak to after the break. We need to get some answers on this teaser from the two of you. Can you name the last three players from each of Celtic and Rangers to score against Belgian opposition?
I'm just going to run through all the main goal scorers. Kyogo?
I mean, that's not really a game of skill, is it? Just naming. Okay, no.
Oh, Morelos?
No.
Chris Boyd?
No.
Oh, this is going well.
Yeah.
Lindstrom?
Nope. It's not a great tactic. I'll give you that, guys. The one hint I will give you is that we're only looking at two games. We're looking at one game for Rangers and one game for Celtic. That is it.
Oh.
And they each had three goal scorers in those matches. So if you can identify the matches, it will then help you.
It's not Callum McGregor then?
It's not Callum McGregor. That doesn't really help with Ira either because he's played in most of them.
James Forrest?
James Forrest, no.
Just
do you want me to leave you some thinking time?
Yeah, please.
Let's okay, 01419511025. Get your calls in while I tell you about this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
Yeah, Christmas is not that far away, and for kids across Glasgow and the West and Ayrshire, it's one of the most exciting times of the year. Each year on Mission Christmas, we want to make sure that every child gets that excited feeling. With food to buy, homes to heat, and winter clothes to buy, families are struggling and Christmas treats can become a luxury. No child should miss out on that, and you can make the difference by supporting Cash for Kids. With your help, we can make sure every family has the essentials they need: food, clothes, heating, and hopefully something for the kids to open on the big day. Mark Gallagher from Royston Youth Action explains how he ended up working for the charity and why it's so important to the community.
It's like a great place just to like get out of the house if you've got nothing on. Like, it's a great place to find like traps and like get like have fun, because you'll find that like most of your friends also go to the club, so you and new people, so you could make hundreds of new friends.
The way they take you out and always help you with everything and make sure you're not feeling down.
Yeah, in some parts of Glasgow and the West, as many as one in two children live in poverty. We can't always make it a magical day, but with your help, we can make it a different day for thousands of kids across Glasgow and the West. We can guarantee that 100% of the funds will go straight back to support those families most in need. It really will make such a difference to them. Find all the details on how you can donate at Clyde1.com/mission. Cash for Kids Mission Christmas is supported by J&D Pierce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We will go back to Celtic Park shortly, ahead of Celtic against Club Bruges. We're going to speak to Callum, who's an Aberdeen fan, on the line very quickly on this teaser. Can you name the last three players from each of Celtic and Rangers to score against Belgian opposition? I had told you that you only need to think of two games.
Yeah.
Have you got the games?
We've got the names one for the Celtic ones, I think.
Okay.
Scott Sinclair,
correct, against?
Anderlecht,
yes.
Roberts.
Patrick Roberts is correct. Same game.
And Lee Griffiths.
Celtic, 3-0 winners, three different goal scorers. That is what happened in the Rangers game as well. I'll leave that with you. Callum has been hanging on the line very patiently. Callum, how are you after last night?
Well, mixed emotions. You wanted to come away with 3 points, and you think that when Sokla gets the late goal, that you think you've tied 3 points up, but it's disappointing, you know. I think that Aberdeen just now, we're just in that kind of period where everyone's expecting us to be. Right now, you're losing points to St Mirren, now dropping points to Hibs. Aberdeen just got to try and get back on it at the weekend and try and take care of Hearts, and hopefully they'll be suffering from a European hangover.
Yeah, how important is that for Aberdeen now, when it was going so well, to then not have great results back to back, to make sure that they try and rediscover the form, if they're able to, that they had at the start of the season?
Yeah, listen, it was always going to be impossible to keep up the form they had at the start of the season. The most important thing now for Aberdeen is the points tally that they do have. Regardless of how it came, regardless of how they've been doing of recent, they take each game as it comes. The manager's always said that, and so have the players. They've had an absolutely fantastic season to date. You know, and everyone except for one team in the top flight was swapped positions with them. So that shows just how well they've done. I understand Callum's disappointment in terms of the St Mirren game and then obviously the Hibs game. You know, it's a lot of travelling for them. We know the St Mirren game was delayed and for obviously the snow, etc. And then they've played against Hibs yesterday. So you're always going to be disappointed. As he said, you score late on, you know, and you don't get that win. And that would be, I think, the thing that would disappoint the manager the most. You know, they had to hang on for one more minute and they didn't do so. But yeah, again, you know, they're going to Sunday's game, as he said, there against Hearts, and they'll believe they can win it.
I think it's a sign of Aberdeen being better than they used to be, that now you're having to live with expectation. People thought that Aberdeen would win the game, as people thought Aberdeen would beat St Mirren. So you're now having to live with expectation, but that is better than everyone thinking, yeah, they've got no chance wherever they go. You know, you're no longer written off as an irrelevance. You mean something now, and you have to live with that level of expectation. That's what Aberdeen are experiencing now.
Have your expectations changed, Callum, before the St Mirren game to now, in terms of what you think Aberdeen can do this season?
No. I still think we should make second. I mean, I don't really agree with Hugh saying we're better than we used to be, because it's consistently throughout the seasons, barring a few, Aberdeen have always finished well above third, and even when one of your colleagues, is it Ewan Cameron, that thought that with a 12 point gap between us and Hearts, that Aberdeen wouldn't catch him in the dead to get third? I think you're havering, Hugh. I think that's absolute nonsense.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why did you get rid of Stephen Glass? Why did you get rid of Barry Robson? Why did Neil Warnock come in for a laughable period? Aberdeen were going nowhere until Jimmy Tielan arrived. And now you are better than you used to be. You're better because you sacked all the managers dating back to Stephen Glass, because nobody was doing the job properly.
But that's the case in any managerial job. It's a merry-go-round. Why did the chicken cross the road? You know, it's like sometimes with Goodwin, after the World Cup break, the cracks were starting to appear. Now, hopefully, this isn't the case with Thielen, but he says he's got a 3-year plan. Everyone wants to stick by him.
Yeah, but get back to my basic point. You sacked Glass, Robson, Goodwin, because things like Darvel were happening to you, and you couldn't get a manager, and you weren't very good. And then, having got rid of a few managers, you found one who is good, and you are better than you used to be. And that's unarguable.
I think you can sort of pick and choose statistics, but I think statistically it has been Aberdeen's best start to the season in their history. Would that not back up the fact, Callum, that Aberdeen have been better this season than they have in previous seasons?
I mean, the start's been phenomenal. I mean, barring the 6-0 hiding from Celtic in the League Cup, which is tough to take, I think it's probably exceeded expectations for a lot of fans. And I just hope that people can understand that, yeah, you know, you're going to go through difficult periods. I think that Thielen will learn a lot more about his team and by getting a defeat, and the errors are coming because now Aberdeen were looking like they were practically untouchable up to a point in time, and then it's now saying, right, okay, he's got to probably go and buy in January because he'll want to take his own players in, because it's still a lot, to be honest, it's still a lot of maybe Peter Levy and even probably Barry Robson's team that's still left. So he'll really want to make his mark on the team, for me.
So if I say Aberdeen are better than they were, and you say I'm havering, I don't understand what you're on about.
Well, why does everybody jump on the old bandwagon and say, oh yeah, Aberdeen are this, that and the next thing? We've been consistent. I mean, was it 2016, 2017 season that Aberdeen started? Was it a 7-game winning streak? And then the wheels absolutely fell apart. So, no, we're not better than we used to be. We're a little bit better than we used to be. It's just a case of the teams like Aberdeen, apart from the Old Firm, it's a complete open league if it was left to them.
Callum, you're havering.
We'll have to leave Callum and Hugh to agree to disagree, because we need to go back to Celtic Park to get a final bit of build-up ahead of that game. Adam Binney is there.
Thank you, Andrew. Yes, we're less than 10 minutes away now from kick-off, and the atmosphere is building at Celtic Park. The disco lights are out, the fans are singing, and if you're a Celtic player, this atmosphere is inspiring. But if you're a Club Bruges fan, this atmosphere is certainly intimidating, and that's exactly what Brendan Rodgers will want to see from the fans tonight. So let's remind ourselves of tonight's starting 11. Brendan Rodgers goes with the same team that beat Hearts 4-1 at Tynecastle on Saturday. Kasper Schmeichel's in goal, a back four of Alistair Johnson, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty and Greg Taylor. Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate and Arnhem Engels make up the midfield three, sorry, and the front three is Nicholas Kuhn off the right, Deza Mayed off the left and Kyogo up front. Special mention to the terrific travelling support too as well. 3,000 Belgian fans have made the trip to Glasgow, and as we can hear around me, You'll Never Walk Alone is playing and the Celtic fans are singing along. The players have made their way back down the tunnel and the managers will be giving their final instructions ahead of a match which could secure Champions League knockout football for its winner. The fans here are ready to put on a top class European performance. Now it's over to the players, Andrew.
Yeah, atmosphere sounding good at Celtic Park. We'll get a final prediction from the two of you.
I'm going to go a narrow win for Celtic, 2-1.
Well, I was about to say 2-1, and I'm not going to do a Gordon Dale and say, oh well, I'll say something different. 2-1 Celtic, same as Marv.
2-1 Celtic, so on to 10 points and then see where they go from there. That certainly will be a huge achievement to be able to do that in 5 games.
You know, whether it was Brendan Rodgers the first time around as Celtic manager, or Ange Postecoglou, or Brendan Rodgers at the start of his second period in charge of Celtic, Europe wasn't great. It was far from great, and some concerning statistics were there. But this season has brought about a change. Dortmund, as I say, was a hammering and no other word for it, but at least it made the players say, I'm never going to go through that again. And they are better more resilient and entertaining in Europe.
Right. We will leave that there because we need to get the final answers on the teaser for from you two. Can you name the last three players from each of Celtic and Rangers to score against Belgian opposition? You've got the Celtic ones against Anderlecht. Lee Griffiths, Patrick Roberts, Scott Sinclair, Rangers.
Kenny Miller?
No. You're that too far back.
Too far back?
Yeah. It's a team that Rangers are playing again in this group stage. I think it's their final game. I'm just going to have to tell you, I'm going to. Union San Gilwa. Think of a guy who's not a striker that scores, or previously, before this season, scored lots of goals for Rangers.
James Tavernier.
There we go. Any more?
Any more for any more?
We've got a striker and a midfielder. Both no longer at the club.
One retired?
No. One
Juaribo?
No, one is playing their football in the Netherlands now.
Big striker, what was his name? Big target man.
Yep.
Oh, Hugh Keevans, what was his name?
He's got a few goals that season, but wasn't always a starter. Started the season really well under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. No. What's the next letter in the alphabet after B?
C?
Yep, surname.
Oh.
AC?
I'm done.
Oh, this is a disaster. And the midfielder who was on loan for a season did well from Bayern Munich.
Ah, Tillman.
Malik Tillman. The striker. Any takers?
Cedric.
Nope.
No. Who?
Antonio Cholak. Oh. We will be back tomorrow night. Gordon Duncan will be in the hot seat and we'll give you all the reaction to Celtic's game tonight.